the streets speaking to people, how many times have you been asked, I could believe in God if I could understand why God allows suffering? And they say they just cannot believe in a God who allows suffering. But when we start seeing it like this, we see that that's totally coming from the wrong direction. It is because of God's holy character and our rebellion against him that led God to subject creation to futility, but with the objective of hope. And that hope is the hope of a unique redemption that only he can bring. A redemption that deals with that rebellion of sinful hearts and of all creation, and leading us to that glorious liberty these verses speak about. And when things go wrong against us, our first reaction is to wave our fist at God and say, why, God, have you allowed this to happen? And yes, that's a natural reaction. But ultimately, we need to realize that all these things happen because of sin and God's plan of redemption. And we need to see that when we realize the cause of this, we need to be broken by the suffering that we see. And all creation groans and will continue to groan until that hope is realized. We can look forward to a time when that will no longer be, when there will be no more cancer, no more depression, no more refugees or tyrants or floods or destruction or death. But until that time, we can expect to see creation groaning. And it's not anything to do with individuals, it's not God sort of cursing the individual, nothing to do with that at all. I just recently had to deal with somebody who had had a number of deaths in the family, and he was convinced that God was cursing him. But no, God dealt with the curse that his due to us on the cross when our Lord Jesus Christ died for us. What we see around us now is God dealing with this futility that is a part of the world at the moment because of our sin, not anything individual. But the whole thing, secondly, our own groans, verses 23 to 25. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we, ourselves, grown within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. We were saved in his hope. Hope that is seen is not hope. But why does one still hope for what he sees? If we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. We know that we're all sinners, and how us displease our Heavenly Father, our sinless, holy Heavenly Father. We have the Holy Spirit living within us, and the guarantee of what's ahead of us. But still, we fail God. We still have a call to open. We can do our own inadequacies. We cannot help but groan. There's indeed poor groan in Romans 7. But the certain proof of that final adoption and redemption of our bodies gives us something to grasp and to eagerly await, brothers and sisters. And just on Friday, we have the funeral of the dear Robert. That he has now achieved that. And there's no better example of perseverance than Robert. He eagerly waited for that with perseverance. And every single person walking this planet has suffered. And I have no doubt each of us in some form or another tonight have got some deep hurt within our hearts that causes us to groan. But in these verses, I hope you saw that the word hope is repeated over and over and over again. And that is what takes us forward. We've had our sins forgiven. We've been given a righteousness that we don't deserve. We have been justified. That means that we've been made right in God's sight. We have eternal life. We have fellowship with our living Father. And all these are only gifts from God through faith for believers. And we have the Holy Spirit within us. Our sins forgiven, and eternal life with God. And yet, still, we need to groan because of our own sinfulness. And we wait, don't we, for that redemption of our worn-out world and our worn-out bodies. That's the whole point of these verses, I think, that they're telling us that whatever situation we're in, we're totally dependent on God. We will groan until the very end, but at that end, there will be that redemption waiting for us. And then the Spirit groans, verses 26 to 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We can be overwhelmed with sadness, with confusion, doubts even about our faith. And there are so many occasions when we groan under this. But you know what? The Holy Spirit within is also groaning. He understands where we're at. He is there with us. And it doesn't just mean that he hears our groanings. Paul says the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We can't understand this. But we can love the Holy Spirit for his goodness and kindness within us, groaning alongside us. When you are next in that position of just not sure where to turn, just know that the Holy Spirit is groaning with you. So then alongside that, very quickly then, we have six blessings. Six promises for believers in this growing world. The first one is, God will show me his glory, verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. We all love to see magnificent things, don't we? The Grand Canyon or one of these nature films. It's because we want to see something big and great and wonderful. I just love when I'm with Richard and me on the Isle of Lewis, seeing the breakers coming in from the Atlantic Ocean, we just see the power of the raging sea. And Jesus wants us to see his power. So that in John 17, he wants us to see my glory. So God's going to reveal and does reveal his glory to us and in us. Secondly, God will reveal greatness in me, in us. Verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. With all due respect, as we look around tonight, we're not so fantastic, are we? And why is the Lord waiting for us to be revealed? What is going to happen? Well, let me say this, that when we are redeemed, when we've been sanctified, we will shine with the glory of God. We will reflect something of his glory. And that will be something very special. The revealing of the sons of God. And the thing is, we won't be looking at each other, we'll be looking at the source of that light, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thirdly, God will fulfill hope, verse 20. For the creation is subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. And that's the ultimate design of this world that's around us, is the hope that only God can give. So how do we square that with what we see in Ukraine tonight? Well, whenever we feel overwhelmed by things, whether it be an international situation, not our house, our family, whatever it is, and everything seems futile, now we are here in hope. And that God has dealt with the curse that's due to our sin through our Lord Jesus Christ. And any suffering that we are going through as believers is not a suffering that's punitive, but rather one that is purifying. Death and suffering are now part of God's sanctifying process, one of those stepping stones to glory. And fourthly, creation will be gloriously free. Verse 21. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. And that's such an amazing thought, isn't it? The creation itself will be freed and brought into our glory. Just talking this afternoon about our position in God's creation. And we might think of the world that God created and then making man and seeing what it is to do your job here and there. No, it's not like that. It's not like that when God makes the new heavens and the new earth. It's all around the children of God. It's the children of God that are central. He will give us new bodies and new emotions and new capacities for dealing with things. And it won't be that God is then just wondering what to do with us. No, it will be centered upon us. Creation will be gloriously free through this liberty of the children of God. Fifthly, suffering sufferings are only birth pains. Verse 22. We know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Paul could look out on all the natural disasters that he had seen. He'd seen the anguish, he'd seen ill health in himself and with others. He'd seen groaning and screaming and pain. But he says that's like a birth pain, it's like a mother giving birth. There's pain that leads to life. There's also pain that accompanies death. And it's only as a believer that we can experience that pain that brings life. And that's what the massive difference is between a Christian and a non-Christian. Suffering the same thing. To the Christian, it's a prelude to life. But sadly, to an unbeliever, it only leads to death. And then sixthly, our bodies will be redeemed. Verse 23. The adoption and the redemption of our body. God cares for our bodies. When things happen to them, it's not some sort of random action. It's not an act of God's anger. God cares for our bodies. God loves us. And when Jesus was comforting the sick and healing the sick, we could see that attitude that he had. And when we are alongside someone who's suffering, perhaps even dying, what we can say is that we are with them in their groanings and in their pain. And that we will be there for them, alongside them, to help them keep their faith and to trust Jesus. Either that will be through a miracle of healing or entering into that final healing in the ancient time. So that's the comfort that Paul is offering to believers. And as we go on our journey to glory, we have to cross that stepping stone of suffering and groaning. And if we're a believer tonight, it's leading us to glory and redemption. So it's not something that we need to dread or get angry about. God is acting in love and for the ultimate redemption of our bodies. And we've just seen that again, as we have our funeral service on time. Lord, it is now past that second Sunday and is now ending the world. And each believer, brother and sister, we too will take that final step on that second Sunday. Our final hymn is going to just reflect on that. 604. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine, all the fortes of glory divine, and then perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture, blessing on sight, angel descending, bring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior, all the day. Let's stand and sing.